The eighth canto prominent theme is Manvantara. There are six elements in a Manvantara. Manvantaro Manurdeva Manuputra Sureshwaraha Rishayo Amshavatarasya Shadvidham Harim Uchyate. Harim Shadvidham Uchyate. There are Manus and Manuputras, sages, and also the Amsha Avatara, Indra. So like that, these six people, six categories of, six groups of office bearers who coordinate the activities of a Manvantara. And they keep changing every Manvantara, and also they are appointed by the Supreme Lord Himself. Thus, Manvantara is coordinated. Eighth canto describes these manus of all 14 Manvantaras. Up to 12th chapter, that Samudra Manthan episode was described. So, first chapter describes the first four Manvantaras, six elements of first four Manvantaras. And in the fourth Manvantara, Lord protected Gajendra. Then Parikshit Maharaj asks, I want to know about the story of Gajendra. Then three chapters will go there, second, third and fourth chapter. Then in the sixth Manvantara, Lord also performed these pastimes of Samudra Manthan. So, Parikshit Maharaj asked about that. And in answer to that, some more chapters will go. 8.5, 6, 7, 8 up to 12 is all related to Samudra Manthan. Up to 11 and 12 is also like that only, so related to Samudra Manthan, because how Mohini Murti bewilders Lord Shiva. That's a auxiliary episode for this. Then 13th chapter describes the duties of all the six elements, and 14th chapter describes all the future Manvantaras also. And in one of the future Manvantaras, Bali Maharaj will become the king of demigods, Indra. Then Parikshit Maharaj asks, how does Bali Maharaj become king of demigods? And I heard that Vamandeva has subdued him, put him into Sutala planet by taking his wealth. I want to know about that story. So then Sukadeva Goswami continues from the 15th chapter, Bali Maharaj episode. In the 11th chapter, we have seen that Bali Maharaj collapsed. He practically lost his life, but Sukracharya revived him. Once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj gave a beautiful class on this Bali Maharaj episode only, how Sukracharya revived Bali and all these Brahmanas of Angira dynasty and Bhrigu dynasty. So they all blessed this Bali Maharaj. Because of the blessings of the Brahmanas, Bali Maharaj could win the heavenly planets. That was the prominent theme there. Blessings of the Brahmanas are so powerful. And one very interesting point that Maharaj brings out there was, blessings are beyond the giver. Sometimes one may bless another person, and apparently this person is, the person who is being blessed is not as advanced as the person who is giving the blessings. Just like Kuvera blessed Dhruva Maharaj, like that few episodes are there. So the good wishes of the person who is giving blessings will really act as blessings upon the person, although apparently they are in a different status, right? There are different levels of hierarchy or advancement. And further, Bali Maharaj goes and conquers the heavenly planets, conquers Indra. In that class, or maybe in some other class, Anandavardhanan Prabhu asked this question. How can Prahlad Maharaj give Bali the blessings to conquer heavenly planets? That means to create imbalance in the universal administration only. How can Prahlad give blessings? So, like even this chapter also we will very easily, we can understand that ultimately Prahlad's blessings upon Bali Maharaj are not to get material prosperity. ultimately they are meant for his spiritual advancement. Unless Bali Maharaj conquers the heavenly planets, how would Vamandev get an opportunity to give him mercy? So ultimately a pure devotee's blessings are meant for the spiritual advancement of others. Apparently they may get some material advancement for some time, for short time, immediately. But ultimately they are meant for one's reconnection with Krishna. That's a very wonderful insight in Bali's episode. Then you must have heard all this, right, from the previous speakers. So later Bali Maharaj conquers and Aditi worships the Supreme Lord, and she wanted a son who can conquer the demigods and reinstate her sons, the demigods, in the heavenly planets. She was so perturbed. But her desire was righteous, just seeking for the welfare of the sons. And when she approached Kashyapa, so her approach was more sober and more gentle and much better than Diti's approach to Kashyapa in 3rd canto, 14th chapter, or even 6th canto, last chapter, 18th chapter. So Diti had malicious intentions. Earlier it was lust, later it was envy. So, but same husband had another wife, Aditi. So that's why such righteous desire made the Supreme Lord descend as Vamanadev. Aditi Kashyapa's son is Vamanadev. So after that, Aditi also offers nice prayers. Only 3-4 prayers were there, right? So then Vamanadev's appearance is described, and he goes and begs Bali Maharaj for 3 paces of land, and he was looking like a small boy. Now Sukracharya, he is against this. Sukracharya said that you cannot give this kind of charity. Do you know who is this boy? He is actually Vishnu. So you cannot give charity. So then what happened is described in the 20th chapter. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Balir Evam Grihapatihi, Kulacharyena Bhashitaha, तुष्णिं भूत्वा क्षणं राजन् वाच उवाच वहितो गुरुम्।
Swami said, O King Parikshit, when Bali Maharaj was thus advised by his spiritual master Shukracharya, his family priest, he remained silent for some time, and then after full deliberation, he replied to his spiritual master as follows.
So Bali Maharaj replied to Sukracharya like this, but before replying, Tushnim Bhutva Kshanam Rajan. Tushnim means he became silent, speechless. Hey, my guru is saying, he told me not to fulfill my promise. I promised that I have to give charity, and Sukracharya is objecting, you cannot give this charity. That means he is literally saying that I should lie. I should be untruthful. So Tushnim, he becomes silent. Bhutva Kshanam, for a moment. For a moment he became very silent. So Sukracharya was serving Bali Maharaj mainly for some monetary gain. Earlier also this mention was there, when Sukracharya was serving Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and his sons Shanda and Amarka were training Prahlad Maharaj. In that context also Prabhupada says Sukracharya was desirous of his material gain as a priest, like a family priest. So technically he is not a spiritual guru. A spiritual master is one who guides the disciple towards the lotus feet of Vishnu and thus liberates him from this material bondage. Such person is called spiritual master. But he is like a family priest kind of person. Right? Kulacharya. Kulacharyena Bhashitaha. Kula Acharya means the family Acharya, family guide. A Kshatriya family will have a family priest or a Brahmana who kind of gives them some suggestions and advices and guidance based on some dharmic principles. May not be parodharmic principles, may not be completely spiritual principles. So Sukracharya was like a dharmic guide and not a guide for bhakti. So he can give guidance in dharma and not bhakti. Now he is deviating from the dharma also. How can you promise something, promise a brahmana that I will give you charity and then he say, no, I will not give you, I will not fulfill that promise. So in strict sense, brahmanas should not be working for atheistic class of people, but Sukracharya is like a smartha brahman or whatever. He is guiding them only for material gain. So here Bali Maharaj became very silent, and for some time he did not respond because he was deliberating on what Sukracharya has said. He was evaluating the validity of Sukracharya's instruction. That should not be done towards a guru. A guru's instructions have to be accepted and executed with all respect and dedication, and one should be willing to follow the instruction of the spiritual master even before the spiritual master completes speaking that instruction. You should have readiness, willingness to execute it. But even after completing the instruction, Sukracharya, Bali Maharaj is silent and then thinking, should I do it or not? That kind of consideration should not even enter the mind of a bona fide disciple. However, even Sarvam Bhattacharya says, Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master Ishwarpuri sends Govinda as a servant, personal servant of Lord Chaitanya. Then Lord Chaitanya says, oh, he had sent me this my God brother as my servant. How can I accept service from my God brother? And also Govinda is coming from not coming from a Brahmana family, he is from a low caste. So how can a sannyasi have a servant from a low born family? When Sarvam Bhattacharya asked like that, like how can this Ishwarpuri accept Govinda as his servant, Lord Chaitanya gave a big reference. So Ishwarpuri and the Supreme Ishwara, they are not bound to this ordinary protocols of this material world. They don't bother about caste, creed, vagara. So Ishwarpuri's accepting of Govinda as his personal servant is perfectly valid, although he is coming from a low caste. Like that, Lord Chaitanya gave an elaborate answer, convincing answer to Sarvam Bhattacharya. But he had a question, Lord Chaitanya. What was his question? How can I accept my God brother as my servant? Then Sarvam Bhattacharya gave an elaborate answer, saying that your guru's instruction should be executed immediately. You should not consider whether it is proper to do it or not. Both know both the things, right? But by this question and answer business, they are just illuminating different perspectives, right? Just educating us what is correct and what is not. So basically the point that we can take from there in this context is, one should not have any hesitation to accept and execute the instruction of spiritual master, guru. But Bali Maharaj is having hesitation. He is deliberating on it. He is evaluating that instruction. Is it proper or not? He is considering it in this context. And that consideration is perfectly valid. So we need to understand the principle according to time, place and circumstances. So certainly it's a rule, it's a general rule that one has to follow the instructions of a guru. But a higher instruction than that is, if the guru's instructions are not favorable for bhakti, such instruction should be rejected, and that guru also should be rejected. Right? Anukulyena कृष्ण अनुशीलनम भक्तिरुत्तम, अनुकूलस्य संकल्पः प्रतिकूलस्य वर्जनम। सो अल्टीमेटली गुरु इज मेंट टू टीच द डिसाइपल सरेंडर टू द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, एंड हियर द गुरु इज नॉट टीचिंग सरेंडर टू द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, ही इज स्पीकिंग समथिंग अगेंस्ट दैट सरेंडर ऑन ए स्पिरिचुअल प्लेन, एंड इवन ऑन ए धार्मिक प्लेन ऑल्सो इज सेइंग यू कैन लाइक, एंड ऑफकोर्स ही हैज गिवन हिज ओन version, his own reason. That reason is, if you are losing your material prosperity, you can lie. That also he spoke. But Bali Maharaj cannot accept that kind of instruction. So in this purport, Prabhupada wonderfully quotes that verse from Rishabhadev. Gurur na sasya, svajano na sasya, pita na sasya, janani na sasya, daivam na sasya, न पतिश्च सस्यात् न मोचये देह समुपेत मृत्युम्। वन कैनॉट एक्सेप्ट द पोजिशन ऑफ ए गुरु और फादर और मदर और ए डेमीगॉड और हूएवर ए सुपीरियर इफ ही कैनॉट डिलीवर हिज डिपेंडेंट फ्रॉम द क्लचेस ऑफ मटीरियल एग्जिस्टेंस, फ्रॉम द क्लचेस ऑफ बर्थ एंड डेथ साइकिल। सो हियर बली महाराज इज अ क्लासिक एग्जाम्पल ऑफ rejecting guru. Gurur na sasyat, svajano na sasyat. Svajana means one's own relatives. Vibhishana rejected Ravana. So Ravana is his elder brother. Vibhishana is supposed to support and follow his elder brother, just like Lakshman followed his elder brother Rama. Similarly, Vibhishana also is supposed to follow his elder brother Ravana. But Vibhishana rejected his brother. Why? Because he is speaking something against surrender to the Supreme Lord. So Gurur na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, then pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat. So janani is mother. Bharat Maharaj rejected Kaikeyi, his mother. Then Prahalad Maharaj rejected his father. Who is that? Hiranyakashipu. But it's not technically rejection, non-cooperation. Prahalad did not cooperate. Prahalad Maharaj did not blaspheme Hiranyakashipu. He did not chastise or disrespect Hiranyakashipu. He gave him the due respect that is meant for father, but he never agreed to his philosophy. He maintained very strong conviction on his path and never accepted whatever Hiranyakashipu had said. And sometimes he even gave him suggestions in a gentle way. Oh, Nishacharagrani, oh, best of all demons, you should go to Vrindavan and worship Vishnu. And the source of your strength is also Vishnu. And you could not control your six senses. They are your real enemies. So now, wherever he needed, in a very gentle and sober manner, he presented the philosophy, presented the truth, but he never agreed. Although he did not disrespect. So, demigod, Indra was rejected by Vrajavasis. Right? Guruna sasya, svajanona sasya, pitana sasya, janana sasya, daivam na sasya. Daivam. Daivam is demigod. Indra was rejected by Vrajavasis. And what is the last one? Patim na sasya. Husband was rejected. By whom? Brahmana Patnis. Brahmana Patnis in 10th canto, 23rd chapter, they rejected their husbands because husbands were doing this yajna. At that time, the boys, the gopa friends of Krishna, they would come and beg for some food, very gently. But they did not even acknowledge their presence. They did not say yes or no also. They did not reply at all. Then they came in a very sad way. They came and reported to Krishna. Krishna said, you can go to their wives. They will be favorable. And as soon as the wives of Brahmanas, they heard that Krishna is nearby, they just picked up whatever prasad they have in their house and then they stand. They rejected all their husbands. And after coming there, all the Brahman Patnis, Dvija Patnis, they even said that we don't want to go back home. We want to be here. We can be like this Vanadevata or whatever, the goddesses of forest, and we'll be here only. We just give a shelter at your lotus feet. Then Krishna says, don't worry, you should go back. By my power, your husbands and family members will accept you back. Don't worry. Sravanat, darshanat, dhyanat, mai bhavanu, kirtanat, na tatha sannikarshena, that verse comes. Your devotional service towards me is not necessarily performed by physical proximity. You can do it just by shravana, darshana and dhyana. Okay. So like that we have so many examples of people who rejected their superiors, whether they are guru or husband or father or mother or brother, whoever, they rejected them. If their subordination or surrender or submissiveness to such a superior is not favorable for devotional service to Lord Krishna, that is the highest principle. Okay. Now Shukracharya had advised Bali Maharaj to deny the promise to Vamandev. So Bali Maharaj deliberated on this point. Should he refuse to accept the advice of spiritual master, or should he independently do everything to please the Supreme Lord? He took some time in evaluating this. So Tushnim Bhutva Kshanam Rajan Uvachohita Gurum. After deliberating on this point, he decided that Vishnu should be pleased in all circumstances, even at the risk of ignoring the Guru's advice to the contrary. This is the statement that Prabhupada makes here. And he also quotes two references, one from Mahabharata and one from Padma Purana. Right? Gurorapi aviliptasya karya karyam ajanataha. So if the Guru himself goes against the principle of Vishnu Bhakti, he cannot be accepted as Guru. And Shat Karma Nipuno Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharada Avaishnava Guru Nasyad Vaishnava Swapacho Guru. If a Swapacha, person who is coming from a dog eater's family, happens to be a Vaishnava, he can be accepted as Guru. But Avaishnava, although he is Shat Karma Nipuno Vipro, he is very expert in all the activities of Brahmanas and Mantra Tantra Visharadaha. He is well versed in all mantras and tantras and mudras and all this. Still, that person, if he is an Avaishnava, not a devotee of Vishnu, he cannot be accepted as Guru. So here Shukracharya is teaching Bali Maharaj not to surrender to Vishnu and to give up his promise made to Vishnu. So Bali Maharaj rejected him, and he did not reject him in a blunt manner. He did not ridicule or chastise or disrespect or disregard. He very politely expressed his difference of opinion with all reasons, with all bona fide valid reasons. In the next 10-11 verses, Bali Maharaj presents 9 reasons why he is inclined to give charity to Vamanadeva, although Shukracharya says, please don't give. So an authority's instruction can be deliberated upon by the disciple or subordinate, right? How to execute, as long as it is favorable towards Krishna consciousness. But it has to be deliberated upon in terms of whether to execute it or not if it is not favorable for Krishna consciousness. That's what Bali Maharaj has done. So that shows that a disciple should not blindly follow Guru. It has to be done with intelligence. When Parikshit Maharaj asked this question in the beginning of the 6th canto, how can all the people, all the human beings be protected from entering hellish conditions? Then immediately Sukadeva Goswami said, they have to atone. They have to perform atonement before their death, and to the extent their sin is grave, to that extent they have to perform atonement. For a small sin they have to commit a small prayaschitta, and for a big sin they have to perform a big prayaschitta. This is how they can be protected from hellish conditions. Parikshit Maharaj immediately rejected. It's not rejecting Guru, it is rejecting Guru's proposal, because it's not aligning with the Bhakti Siddhanta, which the Guru himself taught earlier. There's a contradiction in what you say. So you can always ask for a clarification if there is a doubt, but in a very respectful manner. Right? So something which minimizes the value or the performance of bhakti, then that kind of instruction cannot be accepted. Okay, next. Now it's very important to be the do this tushnim. Tushnim bhutva kshanam rajan. Tushnim kshanam means for a moment he became silent. So we need to understand the importance of remaining silent at a critical point. One should not get immediately overexcited. Right? So if one acts impulsively or sentimentally or at the spur of the moment, just whatever comes in his mind, he will just speak it out or act on it. So that's like, in one sense, he is being carried away by mode of passion. We are not speaking anything against the willingness or readiness of a disciple to accept the instructions of a guru, but that has to be done with along with enthusiasm, utsaha, there should be dhairya also, patience. So one has to take a pause, take a breath, think about it. You can just think about it and evaluate it, and if there is anything, you can just contemplate on it, right? So here Sukracharya is posing to be selfless as a well-wisher of his disciple. I am the well-wisher of my disciple. My disciple may lose his property. I am just trying to protect him. So he is posing to be selfless, but he is actually having selfish intentions. Right? So he is selfish on a material plane because he is wanting some material gain. If this king loses all property, where will I go? I am maintaining myself because of his prosperity. That's one angle. And in an ultimate sense, he is selfish because he is thinking against Krishna. He is thinking against the interests of Vishnu. So the ultimate selfishness of a conditioned soul is expressed when he goes against the interests of Krishna. Not that when someone has certain anarthas or some envious feelings or selfishness or undue anger or whatever he has acquired because of his previous deeds, it could be pious deeds or whatever, that is not lost. He is just having a baggage of good karma. Having a baggage or whatever of his previous good activities, because of which he has acquired some brahmanical strength or an ability to curse or ability to bless or whatever. So that will function. But ultimately, that curse on a spiritual plane acted as a blessing upon Bari Maharaj. Right? So Krishna can, this curse is pronounced on a material plane with his own material assets, material prowess. Daksha's curse had an effect, right? Later Brahmaji went and then kind of relieved that curse, Daksha's curse. So Daksha's curse on Narada Muni also in one sense had an effect, because Narada Muni is just roaming everywhere. So even a selfish person's, for example, somebody is say a big government officer or in a big post, and he passes, because of whatever previous deeds he has done, he is given that great post. But he does not have the necessary character. But with that, with his shortcomings, he may pass some harsh policy that might trouble other people. That will have an effect, certainly. And some people have to suffer. And their karma, whatever they need to suffer, is coming through this fellow also. That we need to understand. So, and this whole transaction is happening under the influence of modes and totally on a material plane. But when devotees are involved in it and they are apparently getting affected by it on a material plane, we need to understand that on a spiritual plane there is actually a blessing. Sringi was an immature, arrogant Brahmana boy. His curse had an effect on Parikshit Maharaj. True to his curse, the Takshaka bird came and bit Parikshit Maharaj after 7 days. He is immature, he is inexperienced, he is arrogant, and his curse was not approved by anyone. His own father did not approve it, but still that had an effect. Right? So, but in devotee's case, because Parikshit Maharaj is a devotee, that curse acted as a blessing, and ultimately he got to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, he went back to Godhead, all this is there. But on a material plane, an external plane, that will have an effect. So that cannot cause any ill. If that is causing any negative results upon people in general, that needs to be seen as just they are being recipients of what they deserve. And that is coming through this person. And if it is happening in the case of great devotees, we need to see that it is Krishna's plan. Right? Through that karsa, through this whole incident, he is giving us a message, but he is actually ultimately causing benefit to the devotees only. So the primary quality of a guru is to teach his disciple surrender of Krishna. That's what namotaye deha samupeta mrityum. That's the last line of that verse, Guru Nasasyat verse. If the superior has no ability to deliver his dependent from the clutches of birth and death cycle, which is bhakti only, if he does not teach bhakti towards Krishna, ultimately he will not be delivered from this transmigration cycle. Right? That is the ultimate solution for all this. So if he is not teaching bhakti, then he cannot be a guru. So the primary character of guru is to teach surrender to Krishna. And the secondary quality of a guru is also kind of taking care of the disciples' progress on a material plane also. Material plane in the sense that his external comforts, whatever facilities he might need. For example, disciples may sometimes go to guru and then say, this problem is happening in office or in home or some financial this thing. Sometimes guru, if he has some knowledge, he may speak something about that also. I think it's better for you to stay at this place. That kind of small guidance also he can give. Right? But that's a secondary role of a guru. Apparently, sometimes a guru may guide a disciple how to be prosperous and how to live a happy life even on a material plane also. But that kind of suggestion is always a subservient and secondary to the primary guidance on a spiritual plane. Right? So Bali Maharaj, Sukracharya's attempt to protect Bali Maharaj's material possessions is justified to some extent, but it is being done by compromising his primary responsibility of teaching his disciple surrender to Guru. So he is not qualified to be a spiritual master. He may be a priest, he may be a family Brahman to do assist in some rituals or whatever, but he could not act like a spiritual master. Taking care of the soul is more important than taking care of physical needs. But however, sometimes that guru also may kind of give some guidance on physical needs also. Now, sometimes guru will see the disciple very weak physically. He may say, I think you should take some rest. You should take some good diet. Do this, do that. Do some exercise so that you can be fit. So that kind of suggestion also guru may give. It is totally taking care of material body. But that is also justified. But his primary instruction is 16 rounds. This bhakti. You can stop chanting 16 rounds, you can stop reading Bhagavatam, you can stop attending morning program, you can stop interacting with devotees, you don't have to go for any yatras, just take care of your business, health. Then something wrong there. Right? Like that.
Platform, one doesn't hesitate to execute the instruction, and of course here Shukracharya is on a material platform doing. So we had to consider.
Mm.
I see in ISKCON world we have a practical difficulty where the spiritual master may not know all the circumstances of a disciple also. So then the disciple may have a consideration of his own in protection of his spiritual life only, not in any material hesitations to serve. Mm. But he may consider that maybe I am not spiritually having that level of strength,
mm.
or my mind and senses also actually are not capable to handle that level of service load what is being offered. In whatever case, he is primarily wanting his spiritual life to be saved. But that consideration of spiritual life being saved, in contrast to the instruction that is coming, mm. that kind of considerations, like here, the deliberation, no? So, ho jayega means if we think of just doing it, then one may not have even that consideration. Like in Vishnu Chakri Thakur's commentary, there he writes in that Vivasatmika Buddhi that I am not even worried about my own liberation. Mm,
correct.
I want to execute that is my sadhana, that is my sadhya. So, in the case of Srila Prabhupada, we see someone like one personality went to Japan and he fell down apparently, but Prabhupada saved him. So that type of leverage, you know, Prabhupada could take and save the disciple also, and the disciple just executed the order. So my question was that, is that kind of consideration something that is within pure devotion service, or it is outside pure devotion service to have a consideration on personal protection of devotional life in contrast to an instruction from a superior who may not understand all the nuances of our own life?
Correct.
So, to my little understanding, there is there is nothing wrong in considering or deliberating on the instruction given by a superior if that compromises on the one's own core practice of devotional service. But there should be a communication. So if we can just, if the person, if he can communicate, if he can request some quality time, just give me 10 minutes, 15 minutes to explain my current situation. So then if you think that my not executing this so and so instruction is not justified, then we can discuss more. But in my current circumstances, with my current workload, I think I won't be able to do justice to this service, especially because that is compromising on, say, my chanting of 16 rounds, my just basic amount of hearing and chanting that I need to do, or it's compromising on following my regulative principles, it is compromising on my health, or whatever. There could be whatever genuine reasons. He has his concerns for his spiritual life are perfectly valid. But if one artificially, that's what the example of Kumaras is. Four Kumaras, they were very honest. So there also we discussed very elaborately in our regular class, third kind of 12th chapter. Honestly expressing one's inability to perform, to execute an instruction of a superior is not wrong. Honestly expressing. But diplomatically maneuvering the authority to say something that I want to hear, to give a favorable instruction, or just cutting corners, or just apparently being obedient and secretly being something else, so that is not proper. So honestly one can always say, especially, and they should have a bona fide reason. Kumaras are described to be Vasudeva Parayana, that's why they are saying we cannot enter household life. Right? If one is not executing the instruction and he is facing out, and that is not proper. He should execute the instruction. If he is unable to execute the instruction, he should have a very valid reason for it. Without valid reason, if he just say, Prabhu, I am being honest, I cannot do this. Why you cannot do this? I don't have a reason, but I am not interested, I want to do something. Then it's like, I want a break. Then if it is not justified, if he is just whimsically saying no, then he has to undergo certain whatever reaction. But for valid reasons, honestly saying no is perfectly alright according to the teachings of Bhagavatam. Because Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur or Prabhupada did not speak a single word against what Four Kumaras had done. And they also supported a lot when Priyavrat Maharaj accepted the instruction of Brahmaji and entered household life. When they purports, both the acharyas, they are writing favorable comments on what Priyavrat Maharaj has done. So these two parties, Four Kumaras and Priyavrata, responded to the same instruction from Brahmaji in totally opposite ways, when both of them are perfectly valid. Brahmaji told you enter household life to Kumaras. Brahmaji told you enter household life to Priyavrata also. Priyavrata said yes, Four Kumaras said no. Both are correct. Same authority, same instruction, but totally opposite responses. Both are perfectly valid. So what is, why they are valid? Because of their motivation. Four Kumaras are a typical example of honest expression of one's inability or disinclination to do some service for a bona fide reason. And Priyavrata is a example of sacrificing one's own desire to perform full-time devotional service to assist the superiors at least for some time. The sacrifice spirit, we take inspiration from him. And in our day-to-day life, sometimes we may have to follow Priyavrata, sometimes we may have to follow Four Kumaras. There is no black and white rule. Four Kumaras only are correct. Hamesha honest rehna chahiye bas. You should never extend yourself. That is not correct. And you should always extend yourself like Priyavrata. For Four Kumaras then is not proper. That also we cannot say. Both are correct. Depending on time, place, circumstances we apply. That is when the authority is bona fide and instruction is bona fide. But Bali Maharaj's case is both are not bona fide. Now Bali Maharaj is saying, Sri Bali Ruvacha, Satyam Bhagavata Proktam, Dharmoyam Grahamedhinam, Artham Kamam Yasho Vrittim, Yona Badheta Karhichit.
Bali Maharaj said, as you already stated, the principle of religion that does not hinder one's economic development, sense gratification, fame, and means of livelihood is the real occupational duty of the householder. I also think that this religious principle is correct.
So, our Bali Maharaj is speaking to Sukracharya. My dear Guru, as you have already stated, dharma that does not hinder one's economic development, that is dharma, artha, kama, dharma that does not hinder one's artha, kama and fame and means of livelihood is real occupational duty for a grihamedhi. Grihamedhi, one more thing is, grihamedhi is not a derogatory word. Grihamedhi in itself is not a negative word. It's generally used in a negative connotation, but grihamedhi itself means someone who is in household life. Right. Even Lord Ramchandra also will be described like that. When you come to 9th canto, you will understand. So Ramchandra has perfectly exhibited his grihamedhi life. So generally we say grihastha, grihamedhi are different. For our understanding it's fine, but we need to see. Grihamedhi is not a wrong word. So I also think that this religious principle is correct. So Bali Maharaj gave a grave answer to Sukracharya, that he is saying that what you have said I also acknowledge, right? However, then the next reasons will come from third verse onwards. If a religious principle does not affect one's material condition, it is to be accepted. Prabhupada writes about Kali Yuga. No one is prepared to accept any religious principle if it hampers material prosperity in Kali Yuga especially. Sukracharya, being a person of material world, did not know principles of a devotee. A devotee is determined to serve the Lord to his full satisfaction, not to his full satisfaction, his full satisfaction. Anything that hampers such a determination should certainly be rejected. That is the principle of bhakti, anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam, we just discussed. So to perform bhakti, one must accept only that which is favorable and reject that which is unfavorable. Bali had this opportunity to contribute everything he possessed to Vamanadeva, but Shukracharya is putting a material argument to hamper this process. So Bali Maharaj wanted to express his disapproval for the instruction given by Shukracharya for various reasons. Reason number one, I am coming from the dynasty of Prahlad Maharaj. I cannot, and he is a very wonderful devotee, exalted devotee. I cannot deviate from his path, that he says in the third verse. Sachaham vitta lobhena pratyachakshe katham dvijam pratishruyata dadamiti prahradai kitavo yatha.
I am the grandson of Maharaj Prahlad. How can I withdraw my promise because of greed for money when I have already said that I shall give this land? How can I behave like an ordinary cheater, especially toward a Brahmana?
This is a very important principle. Bali Maharaj is saying that I am the grandson of Prahlad. I cannot act in ways that reduces his fame, that puts a black mark. Aray, grandfather is so glorious and grandson, how is he like this? So Pandita, the father is Pandit and the son is Pamar, son is very illiterate. So that is not a very good fame for the father, right? So someone who is connected to a great person should behave in such ways that does not bring any infamy or black mark on their reputation, on that great person's reputation. That's why when we are connected with a great parampara, like, one should be loyal to the parampara and act in such ways that establish and continue the glory of the parampara, and one should not act in ways that creates a black mark on the parampara. Right? That's the responsibility every person has when he is connected with great people. Right? Having connection with a great person and then behaving in a whimsical way will not increase their glory. In fact, that will decrease their glory. And that's the main concern, that one of the main concerns that Krishna had in enacting this Maushala Leela. Krishna enacted this Maushala Leela. Maushala Leela, you know, right? That ghastly disappearance or annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. So there, one reason, one of the first reasons that was given was, some of the Yadus were acting very whimsically because of their connection with Krishna. Krishna said, no, that cannot happen. So let them be annihilated. Before I even depart, they should depart first. Like that. So quoting me, or claiming a connection with me, they cannot act in whimsical ways. That's what Prabhupada also says, Nityananda Vamsha, and all this he quotes in Chaitanya Charitamrita and in those purports also. And this king, Indradyumna Maharaj, he constructed this Jagannath Puri temple, right? And when Lord Jagannath asked him what benediction you want, he said, I should not have any descendant, because my future descendant will claim that this is my temple. Right? You know the story, right? So Indradyumna made that temple and he told the Lord that I don't want any descendants. Then Jagannath said, I will become your son. I will do Pindadan, etc., etc. for you. Jagannath ji does Pindadan for Indradyumna and Gundicha. Right? Every year. So like that. Because when a descendant or a successor acts whimsically or behaves in a way that causes some infamy or a black mark on the reputation of a superior, it's not very pleasant and people will lose faith. Yeah. Prabhupada gives, I think Acharyas give another reason also. Lord Chaitanya did not leave a descendant. Right? So that in future some disruption should not happen. Like that. Moksha Lila we can discuss more. So now the principle here is Bali Maharaj does not want to cause any ill reputation to Prahlad Maharaj. He is a pure devotee. His grandson also should be a pure devotee. Right? Forget about being a pure devotee. If I just break my promise that I have given to Supreme Lord Vishnu, how can my grandfather be happy? So I cannot do this. That's the first reason he gives. Prabhupada writes, there are two kinds of devotees, Kripa Siddha and Sadhana Siddha. Sadhana Siddha is one who performs devotional service, one who practices all the regulative principles mentioned in the Shastras, etc. And thus he attains perfection. Now, but the other, there are other devotees who may have undergone all the required details of devotional service, but who by the special mercy of Guru and Krishna have immediately attained perfection. Examples of such devotees are Yajnapatnis, Bali Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami. They are all Kripa Siddhas. The Yajnapatnis were the wives of ordinary Brahmanas, but they could achieve the mercy of Krishna and Balram. Whereas their wives achieved complete perfection despite being women, their husbands could not get it. Similarly, Virochini or Bali Maharaj received the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj, and by Prahlad's mercy, he also received the mercy of Vishnu, who appeared before him a brahmachari beggar. Bali Maharaj was fighting against Indra, and he was conquering Indra's heavenly planets because he happened to be in demonic dynasty. But in the dynasty, Prahlad was there, and Prahlad blessed him. And as I said in the beginning of the class, quoting His Holiness Radhanaswami Maharaj, Prahlad's blessings upon Bali are ultimately the mercy of a pure devotee that will enable him to attain the lotus feet of Vishnu. Because of Prahlad's mercy, Prahlad's blessings, Bali Maharaj got the lotus feet of Lord Vamadeva on his head directly. And he just was pressed into Sutala. Thus Bali Maharaj became a Kripa Siddha because of special mercy. Okay, of Guru and Krishna. Bali Maharaj regularly maintained devotion to the Lord, and because he was purified, the Lord appeared before him. I shall give this little dwarf Brahmana whatever he asks. Okay, next. Fourth verse. Nahiya satyat paro dharma iti huvacha bhuriyam सर्वं सोढुं अलं मन्ये ऋतेलीकपरं नरम्. Here Bali Maharaj gives the second reason. First reason is his connection with Prahlad. Second reason I cannot lie. Read the translation.
Sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar.
It's a great burden for Mother Earth to bear people who are liars. Not liars. Sometimes liars also become liars. So, nahi asatya paro dharmo. Asatya or anrita. This untruthfulness is unbearable to Mother Earth. Sarvam sodhum alam manye rite Alika Param Naram. Alika Param means the most heinous liar. On the surface of the earth there are many great mountains and oceans and so many heavy substances, but Mother Earth cannot feel so much of burden because of all of that. But what is burden is this liar. Even in the most common dealings, people are accustomed to speak so many lies. Unnecessarily they will speak lies. There is no need only. Just as a second nature one may do that. No one is, there is apad dharma. When someone's life is threatened, when someone's wealth is threatened, when someone has a higher purpose, he may just kind of apparently speak a lie temporarily, as minimum, with as minimum magnitude as possible, as a part of apad dharma. Unavoidable circumstances, exceptional circumstances, but not on a regular basis. under the circumstances one can just imagine how this has overburdened the earth and indeed entire universe. Fifth verse. Naham vibhemi nirayan na dhanya asukharnavat nasthanachyavanan mrityor yatha viprapralambhanat.
I do not fear hell, poverty, an ocean of distress, fall down from my position, or even death itself, as much as I fear cheating a Brahmana.
This is similar to one previous verse. What is that? Naham Vishanke Sararaja Vajran Natriyaksha Sugalan Nayamasya Danda. Raghuvana tells Jadabharat, I am not as afraid of this weapons of Agni, Arka, Surya, Soma, Shiva, Yama, Yamadanda also, as much as I am afraid of offending a Brahman. Same thing he says. I cannot afford cheating a Brahman. In general, speaking lies, I cannot handle. That's what he says in the second. Third reason he gives is, specifically I cannot cheat a Brahmana. I told this Brahman that I will give you 3 paces of land. I must fulfill it. I cannot cheat him. Sixth verse.
Yadyadhasyati lokesmin
samparetam dhanadikam tasyatyage nimittam kim viprastushyenna tenachit.
My lord, you can also see that all the material opulences of this world are certainly separated from their possessor at death. Therefore, if the Brahmana Vamandev is not satisfied by whatever gifts one has given, why not please him with the riches one is destined to lose at death?
This is another important principle. To understand the fickle nature or temporary nature of this material world constitutes a very significant part of one's devotional service. One, to cultivate positive knowledge about the spiritual world, and also to cultivate the knowledge about the temporary nature of this material world also is equally important. So ultimately, whatever I may possess, if not today, tomorrow, or after 10 years, or 100 years, or 1 million years, or whatever may be my lifetime, that has to go away from me. I cannot have these possessions. Although I am the possessor of all the 3 worlds now, I cannot have this opulence for the rest of my life or for the rest of eternity. They need to leave me. Everything is temporary. So that's what he says here. Right? Tasya tyage nimittam kim viprastushyanna tenachit. If I can give up that wealth to satisfy a Brahmana, why can't I embrace such an opportunity? After all, this is temporary. And this possession does not belong to me perpetually, permanently, right? But this possession which is there with me now definitely is giving me an opportunity to please a Brahmana. And if I please a Brahmana and if he is satisfied, that satisfaction of a Brahmana will act as a permanent blessing upon me. So that's how one needs to intelligently analyze things. What can give me permanent benefit, what can give me immediate benefit? If I say no to that person, my immediate need may be solved. Immediately, I may feel comfortable. But if I say yes to that person and then be favorable to that person, then permanently I may get, or for a longer period, I may get a better blessing and more benefit, right? Which is better position than possessing this wealth, temporary wealth. So that's how he is saying. One is to have a long-term vision than being carried away by the circumstantial and temporary, outbursts, right? The word vipra means Brahman. Bali Maharaj had confidentially decided to give the gift of this land to Lord Vamanadeva without discussion. But because such a decision would hurt the hearts of Asuras and his spiritual master, he spoke equivocally. Bali, a pure devotee, had already decided to give everything to Vishnu. So, 7th verse. In the 7th verse, he gives some examples of other personalities. He quotes history. Not only me, there are other people also who have done such kind of sacrifice. They have given up their own wealth, their own bodies, to please others. So he says that in the 7th verse. 5th reason is examples. Shreyah kurvanti bhutanam sadhavo dustya jashubhaihi dadhyan shibi prabhritya prabhritayaham kovikalpodharadishu.
Dadichi, Sibi and many of the great personalities were willing to sacrifice even their lives for the benefit of people in general. This is the evidence of history. So why not give up this insignificant land? What is the serious consideration against it?
So Dadichi and Sibi are some very good examples. Sibi gave his own flesh. And Dadichi gave his entire body. He has just given up his life to assist the demigods so that they get the Vajrayudha and they can kill Vritrasur and many other demons later. So Bali Maharaj gave examples of previous great people and proposed that I also want to set a good example. I don't want to set a bad example against such great people. So this is the 5th reason to be a right example for future descendants or people. So certainly one has attachment for everything material, especially one's land, but land and other possessions are forcibly taken away at the time of death. That's what he mentioned in the previous verse. Mrityu sarvaharaschaham. Now that Lord is personally present in front of Bali and asking, give me your land, then why can't he give? Mrityuha sarvaharaschaham. If one is not willing to give his possessions to the Lord, at one point or the other, Lord will take it anyways. Right? Now you see, in the episode of Krishna entering Mathura, at the time a washerman came in front of Krishna. Krishna asked him, my dear washerman, we are coming from this Vrindavan village. We came for the first time to Mathura. Can you give us some clothes for me and my brother and my friends? We'll wear them, some colorful clothes. And if you give us these clothes, you will get the ultimate benefit. Then this fellow said, you are all mountain wanderers, forest dwellers, you are uncivilized villagers. How dare you ask for king's clothes? He started speaking as if he is the king. These are all meant for the king. So you don't deserve to be wearing this. And if you ask like this, the king's men, his soldiers, will come and loot you, beat you, and arrest you, and kill you. Better get away from here. So like that he spoke very arrogantly, with great envy and anger. So Krishna just with his fingertips, he did like this, and he separated his head from his body. And he took his clothes. Right? So he took his clothes. So when Krishna is asking you, please give me this offering, if the person accepts that opportunity and voluntarily gives whatever offerings that he can give to the Supreme Lord, then he will be an object of mercy of the Lord. But if he holds back, no, these are my possessions, these are mine, how can I give him? I will not give. Ultimately, after death, Krishna will take all of them away. Everything belongs to Krishna. But by asking from you, Krishna is only giving you an opportunity to express your voluntary sacrificing spirit and service attitude unto him, and thus you only get benefit. That's what Krishna said. Krishna told this washerman very clearly, if you give us some clothes, you will get the ultimate auspiciousness. Many people will have different doubts about this episode. If washerman says, I will not give you clothes, these are king's clothes, what's wrong with him? Why Krishna has to kill him? Krishna is doing Dadagiri. How can Krishna do like this? But see the higher principle there. Krishna very politely requested Vasharman, promising him ultimate benefit, auspiciousness. Because Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he is giving him the offer. But this washerman spoke very arrogantly, very cheap words. You don't deserve to wear all that. He, if he had said, "Your king's clothes, I'm sorry, I'm helpless, I should not be giving, I'm not authorized to give," whatever, something like that, if he says, then Krishna would have dealt with him in a different way. Right? But he did not do like that. He said, "You don't deserve." He spoke very arrogantly. That's why Krishna killed him. Right? And Kubja, as soon as she saw Krishna, immediately Kubja just put all ointments and all, Krishna gave her mercy. Krishna transformed her into a beautiful woman. And the weaver voluntarily offered all the ornaments, cloth ornaments for Krishna, and then Krishna blessed him. And Sudama voluntarily offered all the garlands that he had. So we may have a lot of possessions, but we should not have possessiveness. We should not artificially think that we are proprietors of all these possessions. That is Mahamoham. Out of the five Ajnana Vrittis that Brahmaji has created, one of the most prominent Ajnana Vrittis is this possessiveness, a sense of possessiveness and an illusion. Wrongly one thinks that this belongs to me, this land belongs to me. So if one does not voluntarily offer it to Krishna, Krishna will take it away anyways. That's what he says. Why can't I voluntarily give? Anyways, it will go to me, go to him. One day. Chandika Pandit says, Sannimitte varam tyago vinashe niyate sati. Since our money and possessions do not last but will somehow or other be taken away, as long as they are in our possession, it is better to use them for charity to a noble cause. When one has anything, it could be time, it could be money, it could be resources, it could be manpower, it could be anything. If one has some possessions apparently in his custody, that is only a test for him whether he will utilize them in Krishna's service or for his sense gratification. A gentleman should perceive all his possessions and opportunities he has as a test. Now I have 3 hours time in my hand. How do I utilize this? Will I utilize this for rendering service to Krishna and his devotees or uplifting my consciousness, or will I waste this time to do some nonsensical thing? I have some money. How do I utilize this? I have some people with me. How do I engage them? For good purpose or for my own selfish purposes? So like that. One should always evaluate. So, if one does not utilize whatever he has at his disposal for Krishna, they will be taken away at any point. But if one has those possessions and if he has the good intelligence to utilize them in Krishna's service, he will be benefited. So, one has to see that as a test given to him and an opportunity given to him to come one step closer to Krishna. By offering to Krishna something that which do not belong to you anyways, in the ultimate sense, you will come one step closer to Krishna. You will come one step closer to the spiritual world. Is it not a good proposal? You are not giving anything that belongs to you to Krishna. You are giving something that belongs to Krishna only to him. And by that you are getting benefited. Wow, what a wonderful proposal. That's how one should perceive. But if I start thinking that I am the proprietor of all these things, these are all things belong to me, I cannot share with others, I cannot give it to Krishna, then such a person is a thief. He is artificially thinking that something is mine, although it is not his. Like that.
Sixth verse. Yairayam bubhuje brahman daityendrair anivartibhim तेषां कालो ग्रसी लोकान् नयशोधिगतं भुवि. O best of the Brahmanas, certainly the great demonic kings who were never reluctant to fight enjoyed this world. But in due course of time, everything they had was taken away, except their reputation, by which they continue to exist. In other words, one should try to achieve a good reputation instead of anything else.
So, sixth verse speaks about reputation. The sixth reason he gives is reputation. So, tesham kalo grasil lokan na yashodhigatam bhuvi. All the possessions that one has will be lost, but what he will have permanently is his reputation. So, to achieve good reputation, one can sacrifice whatever he has, because that's a permanent or a long-term possession than all the short-term possessions. So, I'm intelligent. I want to have that kind of possession. Like that. Even after death also, even after so many generations also, they will be glorified. Right? Bali Maharaj therefore decided not to follow the spiritual master's instruction that he deny his promise. He decided to give land according to his promise and everlastingly be celebrated as one of the 12 Mahajans. Atmanivedanam. 12 Mahajans. That reputation is better than the reputation of being the possessor of three worlds. Next, ninth verse. Sulabhayudhi viprashe yanivrittastanutyajaha natathatirtha ayate shraddhayaye dhanatyajaha.
O best of the Brahmanas, many men have laid down their lives on the battlefield, being unafraid of fighting, but rarely has once gotten the chance to give his accumulated wealth faithfully to a saintly person who creates holy places.
So, there are so many people who fought in a battlefield. They showed a lot of courage in the battle. But very rarely one has received a chance of accumulating wealth faithfully and offering that to Brahmanas, right? Or giving some charity to Brahmanas. So, Bali Maharaj is considering that generally for Kshatriyas to die on battlefield is a very glorious death. But Bali Maharaj is considering that to give charity is a better opportunity for me than to fight. So, charity is better than fighting. That's the argument he gives in this verse. Many Kshatriyas have laid on their lives dravyam iti yadhanam. So, the gift which is given out of duty at proper time and place to a worthy person and without expectation of anything written is considered to be charity in mode of goodness. Thus, charity given in the proper place is called sattvika. And above this charity in goodness is transcendental charity, where one sacrifices everything for the sake of Vishnu. Therefore, Bali decided to give everything to Vishnu. Right? So, this is very rare. The rarity of charity is more than the fighting. So, fighting is often, it's possible. So, there are so many great kings who fought, and we have discussed so many such fighting episodes in Bhagavatam itself, and Ramayana, and Mahabharata, and many other Puranas. So many fightings are there, but very few examples of charity are there. And the best example of charity is Bali Maharaj, Sibi Maharaj, like that. Tenth verse. Manasvinah karunikasya shobhanam yadarthi kamo panayena durgati kutah punar brahma vidam bhavadrisham tato vatorascha dadami vanchitam.
By giving charity, a benevolent and merciful person undoubtedly becomes even more auspicious, especially when you give charity to a person like your good self. Under the circumstances, I must give this little brahmachari whatever charity he wants from me.
So it's very auspicious. By giving charity, a merciful person becomes even more auspicious. Right? Manasvinaha karunikasya shobhanam. Karuna, that quality of compassion, shobhanam means it increases the glory. It increases the auspiciousness of a person. Already he is auspicious, definitely. But this karuna, this compassion, this charitable disposition increases his auspiciousness. For that, I better give this charity. This is the eighth reason that he gives.
Yadarthi kamopanayena durgatihi kutaha punar brahmavidam bhavadrisham.
So especially when he gives charity to a person like your good self, he says, you are a Brahman, he is also a Brahman. So let me give charity to Brahman. So I must give this charity to this little Brahmachari. Okay. If one accepts a poverty-stricken position because of losing money in business, gambling, prostitution, intoxication, no one will praise him. But if one becomes poverty-stricken by giving charity, whole world will praise him. Right? There is a better way of becoming poor, poverty-stricken also. Why to embrace poverty by engaging oneself in prostitution and intoxication and gambling especially? Next, Bali Maharaj decided that even though he would become poverty-stricken, better I do that by giving charity. Then the last reason that he gives is, Vishnu himself has come and begging me for charity. How can the husband of Goddess of Fortune beg from anyone? And I got this rare privilege. He is asking charity from me. His hand is below and my hand is above. So I cannot miss this. Let me have the glory of giving charity to Vishnu. He says that in the next three verses.
Yajanti yajnam kratubhir yamadrita bhavanta amnaya vidhana kovidaha sa eva vishnur varadostu vaparo dasyam amushmai kshitim ipsitam mune.
O great sage, great saintly persons like you, being completely aware of the Vedic principles for performing ritualistic ceremonies and yajnas, worship Lord Vishnu in all circumstances. Therefore, whether that same Lord Vishnu has come here to give me all benedictions or to punish me as an enemy, I must carry out his order and give him the requested tract of land without hesitation.
Without hesitation, I have to give this. Now you see, Bali Maharaj is not just prepared to give charity sentimentally. In his words, you can definitely see a courage in him and a willingness, or he's ready and prepared even if Vishnu is treating him like an enemy. Even if he treats me like an enemy, he's acting on behalf of demigods, and because I'm in a demoniac family, if he treats me as an enemy and still punishes me or tries to cheat me and what else he says? Benedictions. Either he comes to me to give benediction or to punish me as an enemy, I must carry out his order without any hesitation. Right? So Bali Maharaj is totally prepared. Whatever may happen, let it happen. No problem. So it's not that when someone is seeing so much advantage in doing something, then like in a strategical way he is doing that activity. But Bali Maharaj, although he spoke 8 advantages so far, but he is prepared even if there is a disadvantage also. Even if he treats me like an enemy, it's fine. I am ready for it also. So you are going there. You may say, you are going to see that patient, my dear doctor or my dear caretaker, but you may also catch malaria. You may also catch typhoid. The virus may infect you also. But still he says, no, whatever it may be, I must go and visit him. Right? I am prepared for it. Even if I catch the disease, I don't mind, but I cannot avoid seeing him now, like that. One is prepared completely. So I am going there with a complete understanding of the situation. It's not that, oh, are you too much overexcited that you are getting only advantages? There are some disadvantages also. Are you just getting excited because that rose is so beautiful and emanating such good fragrance? There is a thorn also there. He says, no problem. Even if I am, when I am plucking the rose from the tree, even if the thorn just hurts my hand, and if my hand bleeds also, I don't mind. I want to pluck that thorn. I want to pluck that rose. He is prepared for it. That's why he is an example of Atmanivedana. He is not an example of Atmanivedana just because he gave charity. Even before giving charity, he is prepared to surrender himself completely. He is putting himself at the disposal of Vishnu completely. Even if he punishes me, I am prepared for it. Earlier he said reputation. Areva, you want to become reputed? Auspicious. Eighth reason is auspicious. You want to gain more auspiciousness? You are considering charity better than fight? Okay. You want to set a good example? You don't want to cheat a Brahmin? You are thinking everything is temporary, because all these other benefits that he mentioned so far are, some are aligning to dharma, some are considering positive advantage, some are exhibiting his detachment. But this is ultimate. He says, Atmanivedana, I am ready for whatever treatment that I might receive. What kind of punishment he will give? He has no clue. How he will embarrass him? No clue. Even if he takes away all my possessions, no, that's fine. But true to the surrender, to test that surrender of Bali Maharaj, to glorify that surrender of Bali Maharaj, Vamandev did not take away all his possessions. He also made him a debtor. Although he wanted to be truthful, he made him a liar. You told me that you will give me 3 paces of land and you have given me only 2. Where is the third one? You did not have enough bank balance and still you have given me check. And the check bounced. And I am putting a case on you. And immediately he calls Vasuki and then he arrests him. Varuna Pasha, and also that snake also comes and binds him completely, this Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj did not know all these details, but he is prepared for everything. Whatever way he wants to treat me, I am ready. And to thoroughly humiliate him and embarrass him in front of the entire universe, it's not a private affair happening in the, between 4 walls, right? It's a, entire universe is watching. And Brahmaji comes to the rescue of Bali Maharaj. You have tested him sufficiently. You have embarrassed and humiliated him sufficiently. Enough! Why are you arresting him? Where will he get? You have occupied all the 3 worlds and you are asking for third step. Where will this poor fellow, where will he get? What is there within this universe in his possession? And Bali says, my head is there, take this. Right? So, like that, that's why Bali Maharaj is Atmanivedana example. So he did not get that glory of the best example of Atmanivedana, the most prominent example of Atmanivedana, just like that. Any devotee who is glorified in Bhagavatam underwent a lot. Without hard work you will not get anything. One will not get mercy of Krishna, one will not get glory of being a devotee or whatever. Without expressing sufficient surrender, one cannot expect any good result without significant amount of hard work and sweat and toil and surrender and detachment. So Bali Maharaj has understanding of all these things. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat varataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. Although in the Vedas there are recommendations for worshipping many demigods, Vishnu is the supreme person. The worship of Vishnu is the ultimate goal of life. The Vedic principles of Varnashram institution are meant to organize society to prepare everyone to worship Vishnu Varnashramacharavata Purushena Parahpuman. And there are other verses also. Atahpumbi Dhudesreshta Varnashrami Bhagashaha Swanishtitasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. So everything is centered around worshipping Vishnu and loving Vishnu and offering everything to Vishnu. And he is doing it to the ultimate extent.
Marabhi Rakabhi Yaicha Tomar Yo Icha Tomar Nitya Dasa Prati Tuya Adhikar.
So this is the verse that Prabhupada is quoting in the context of Bali Maharaj's surrender. So he is surrendering only universe now. This is Vishwanivedanam. Atmanivedanam will come after two chapters. Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe in this chapter, and Bali Maharaj surrenders himself in the 22nd chapter. That after Yatra you will discuss. Right? So, surrendering universe is not sufficient. Surrendering oneself is needed. One may be insignificant in this universe, but what the Lord considers more significant is when you surrender yourself, not the universe. Right? Bali Maharaj possessed everything in this universe and he has surrendered all of that, but still Lord arrested him. Between these two chapters, Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe and Bali Maharaj surrenders himself. Between these two chapters, there is another chapter. Lord arrests Bali. See, 21st chapter is Bali Maharaj arrested by the Lord. After he surrendered everything, surrendered the universe, why would the Lord arrest him? Because he wanted the next chapter to happen. Self. Yourself is more valuable for me than this universe. Lord is declaring that fact. You are more important for me. I want you. I don't want this universe. I can create all these universes, millions of universes from my sweat pores. Not me. An expansion of an expansion of an expansion of my expansion can do that. But I want you. You are more valuable for me. When you surrender yourself to me, I'll become more ecstatic. To that extent, till that point, Lord tested Bali Maharaj. Lord arrested him. So this is the glory of Bali. Next verse.
यद्यप्यसावधर्मेण मां बध्नीयादनागसं तथाप्येनं ह नहमिष्येशे भीतं ब्रह्मतनुं रिपुं.
Although he is Vishnu himself, out of fear, he has covered himself in the form of a Brahmana to come to me begging. Under the circumstances, because he has assumed the form of Brahmana, even if he religiously arrests me or even kills me, I shall not retaliate, although he is my enemy.
Okay. So although he is Vishnu himself, out of fear, he has covered himself. So Vishnu came to Bali and asked him to do something. And Bali certainly would not have refused his request. But to enjoy a little humor between himself and his devotee, the Lord covered himself like a Brahmana Brahmachari. So one should not take this thing literally. Out of fear, Vishnu came like this to me. So all these things should not be taken literally. Prabhupada says, that's a very nice exchange. Right? Lord, if he directly comes and asks also, what he would have given. But he came in the form of a garb Brahman, right? Apparently people have the opportunity to misunderstand him, or an opportunity to keep faith and trust on him despite this kind of contradictory behavior. Why can't Vishnu be straightforward? Why can't Vishnu directly come and ask why he has to cheat? Krishna says, fine. People who are uninformed and unintelligent and atheistic or critical in mentality, let them criticize me, no problem. But my devotees will relish these activities. And my devotees will respond to these activities. And after all, I am cheating to glorify my devotee. Although Bali was cheated, still Bali Maharaj did not lose faith on the Supreme Lord. Did not disrespect the Supreme Lord. Right? So why Krishna does all these kinds of activities of cheating or like apparently mistreating his devotees or testing them very badly only to glorify them? Why Prahalad had to undergo so much? As soon as Hiranyakashipu touched Prahalad Maharaj, Narasimha could have come and killed him.
why Narasimha Dev allowed Prahalad Maharaj to be thrown from mountain cliff, to be beaten by serpents, to be beaten with gadas and swords and all kinds of child abuse was done. The first child abuse done in the universe, maybe Bali Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu abusing Prahalad, and this kind of child abuse must not have happened after all these yugas, in all these seven manvantaras so far. So this is the classic example of child abuse. But why Lord allowed that abuse to happen? Why he has to wait till the end to glorify him? Sometimes in movies, no? Police will not come till the climax, right? Only after the hero fights so much and then he does so much of endeavor, then only the climax, in climax the police will come and arrest the villain. Why directors do like this? Because they wanted to give the glory to hero. If the police come in the first scene and arrest the villain, where are the fights? How can all the heroes just fight and then get claps from the fans and then have big cutouts and Abhishek for them? Why will Rajinikanth get any opportunity to fight with so many people if the police come right in the beginning? So directors of the movies, they wanted to give glory to the heroes, right? Then they will have so many fans. Similarly, Krishna, who is the director of this universal movie, right, he wanted to glorify his devotees. Devotees are the heroes and we are all their fans. We will clap to Bali Maharaj or Prahalad Maharaj only when they have underwent all these things. So Krishna is happy, climax. He will reveal their glory. And for that, he can accept all blame also. But devotees do not misunderstand him. Right. Why, on the other hand, Krishna himself cries in Damodar Leela. In Damodar Leela, Krishna exhibited so many contradictions. Right? He is absolute truth, but he lies. And he is the Vishuddha Sattva Vigraha, but yeah, it's a little embarrassing. Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj and many sannyasis are going here and there. So, like recently also, when I just wrote an article for our Bhagavad Pratipika and Damodar Leela, that's fresh in my mind. So like that, Krishna exhibited so many contradictions, and when Yashodamayi came and caught Krishna, as Kunti Maharani describes, he was just waiting for the judgment. He is the supreme judge. He is waiting for judgment of Mother Yashoda. And now you see, Kunti Maharani describes this. Gopya dade tavai krutagasi damatavad yate dashasru kalilanjana sambhramaksham vaktram niniya bhayabhavana yasthitasya samam vimohayati api vibhibheti. Like that one verse comes. Apiyad vibhibheti. So, because of all the offenses done by Krishna, offense is breaking pot, distributing butter to the monkeys, and running away from home. I am making Yashodamayi run in the streets of Vrindavan. Krishna runs to the main gate so that he can avoid punishment in public. Right? Yashodamayi will not come and punish him in public, right? He wanted to escape like that. But still Yashodamayi comes there. So all these reasons are there. That's why Yashodamayi is very angry. And at that time, Krishna cries profusely. Rudantam muhurnetra yugmam rujantam karambhoja yugmena sa atanka netram. How can the bliss personified have atanka? How can he have fear in his eyes? Right, so much. Hasam hare ravanata akhila lokativra sokasya sagara visoshanam atyudaram. He can dry up the entire ocean of tears of grief that is created by the lamentation of the conditioned soul. But he is crying profusely. He is breathing very heavily, although his breathing can produce millions of universes, right? But Krishna underwent all this tremendous grief and humiliation. Vaktram niniya bhayabhavanaya sthitasya. Bending his head low in front of Mother Yashoda, just like a culprit. He is humbling himself completely, putting himself completely at the disposal or the decision or the judgment of Mother Yashoda. Whatever you want, you can do. You can beat me, you can punish me, you can release me, you can bind me. Full surrender. Atmani Vedanam. Krishna has done in front of Mother Yashoda. Right? Unless Krishna does all these things, Yashodamai would not be glorified. Right? Yashodamai is the, I don't know, hero is not the right word, but she is the main character there. Nemam virincho nabhavo nashri rapyanga samshrayat prasadam lebhire gopi tyattat prapta vimuktidat. Na imam virincho, Brahmaji did not have this mercy that Yashodamai received. Na bhavo, Shiva did not have the mercy that Yashodamai received. Even Lakshmi also, Angasam Shreyat, who is so close to the, physically close to the Supreme Lord, she also did not have this privilege that Yashodamai had. Yashodamai is a better devotee than Brahma, Shiva and Lakshmi also. Unless Krishna has not gone through all this kind of turmoil in Damodar Leela of the humiliation and embarrassment and crying profusely and getting dissatisfied, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is staying in the milk ocean, but he is crying and he is desirous of little milk from Mother Yashoda's body. And when he did not get it sufficiently, he cries, "You are staying in milk ocean. Why are you crying for little milk from a gopi's body?" So he exhibited so many contradictions to his original tattva to glorify Mother Yashoda. Right? So Krishna does not mind accepting blame upon himself. Krishna doesn't mind if ordinary people will misunderstand him or minimize his position. His only job is to glorify his devotees. Right? That's why he is called Bhakta Prabhava Vardhanam, like that one verse comes. Namo Vishuddha Sattvaya Prabhave Sattva Sattvatam Prabhave Sarva Sattvatam. He takes pleasure in increasing the influence of his devotees. Right? It could be Yashodamai, it could be Prahalad Maharaj, it could be Bali Maharaj, it could be the Pandavas, it could be Kunti Maharani, it could be Draupadi. Krishna could have slapped Dushyasan before even he had gone to Draupadi's inner chambers to bring her. Krishna made Draupadi undergo so much turmoil, then only he came and caught. Then only he came and gave the sari to Draupadi. Unless that much has not happened, the audience who are watching the show will not give sufficient garish to Duryodhana and does not give sufficient credit to Krishna. Right? Same thing. We will not glorify Mother Yashoda so much unless she has done whatever she has done in Damodar Leela. So sometimes Krishna himself undergoes a lot of hard work, or he makes his devotees undergo a lot of hard work only to glorify devotees. He is not desirous of any credit. Right? So that is Krishna. The same thing he is doing in Bali Maharaj's case also. Bali is saying, if this Brahmana really is Lord Vishnu, who is worshipped by Vedic hymns, he would never give up his widespread reputation. Either he would lie down having been killed by me, or would kill me in a fight. Right? So Bali Maharaj's statement here that Vishnu would lie down having been killed is not a direct statement, or it should not be taken literally. How can Vishnu be killed by anyone? Vishnu can kill everyone, but he cannot be killed. Thus the real meaning of the words is lie down. Is that Lord Vishnu would reside within the core of Bali Maharaj's heart. So no one can conquer Krishna, but Krishna is Bhaktayar Jitatvam. Devotees can conquer him. Bhakti Baddham, devotees can bind him. Bhakta Vashyata, devotees can captivate him. And Bhritya Vashyata, he is a subordinate to his servitor. These are the words that Sukadeva Goswami or Satyavrata Muni and all these great devotees are using. So Krishna likes to be captivated in the hearts of their devotees, his devotees. So these are various reasons that Bali Maharaj has given. So we have elaborately discussed these points. The rest of the chapter is small. Virat Ruptu will come again.
So is it necessary
not necessary. It depends on Lord's will. But if it is Lord's will that devotee undergo some turmoil or whatever, then Krishna will make them undergo that, and that will ultimately be glory. But some people need not undergo. Narada Muni, in the beginning of his life, previous life, as the son of maid servant, he actually went to prema stage. But Lord came and said, Lord gave him a glimpse of darshan and then withdrew his darshan and said, no more darshans in this life. No more darshans in this day of Brahma only. Right? You, because of your material taints, I will not give you darshan anymore. So, actually he went to prema stage, but his prema was infant. He wanted to increase that infant prema to youthful prema. But here, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes that Narada Muni did not have actually material taints. Otherwise, he would not be described as Premati Bhara Nirbhinna Palakango. He is manifesting all kinds of ecstatic symptoms in his meditation to on Krishna. So he did not have material taints. Only to increase the humility of Narada Muni, Lord said like that. Although devotee is sufficiently advanced, still Krishna will make him undergo some trouble, because he wanted to just establish their glory in this world. But it's not necessary that everyone undergoes that kind of trouble to such magnitudes. Pandavas underwent a lot of trouble, but that much trouble we don't see in the case of other devotees. Gopis underwent a lot of turmoil, that much trouble we will not see in case of some other devotees. But the more devotee faces tribulations in this world, the more he is glorified for his devotional service. And Krishna wants to highlight that. Next. And they don't complain. That quality we need to learn from them. Despite undergoing Aslishava Padartam Pinashtam, that's the thing. Next. Read the translation. Should we give a break? We want to wind up early, not today. You don't need break, no? Very less time. Oh, okay. What's the time? 12:10. My God, I didn't notice. 12:45. We need to end. Okay. Read next. 14th verse. Read. Translate.
Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thereafter, the spiritual master Shukracharya, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, cursed his exalted disciple Bali Maharaj, who was so magnanimous and fixed in truthfulness that instead of respecting his spiritual master's instructions, he wanted to disobey his order.
So, although Bali Maharaj is exhibiting such deep surrender, Shukracharya did not have the ability to understand or appreciate this. That's the difference between both of them. Bali has already developed love of Godhead, but Shukracharya is still attached to his mere rituals of priesthood and other simple formalities and protocols on a material plane, or at the max on a dharmic plane. So, even to appreciate another person, the person who is supposed to appreciate or appreciating, should have some kind of potency and some understanding of things. For example, a cook makes a sweet, barfi, sandesh, whatever. He has to undergo a lot of hard work to get the consistency in whatever that mava that is put, and if it is heated little more or little less, you will not get that consistency or whatever you have in that barfi or sandesh, like that. So it's a very technical job, and the milk has to be proper, and the sugar has to be proportionate. So like that, especially rasamalai, rasgulla, so they all need very, very fine, recipe, alignment with the recipe. And the cook has to be really attentive and focused and concentrated. He cannot be cooking, 10 things simultaneously.
like that. One who does not have any understanding, one who does not have that tongue, this thing, na? My tongue is not very powerful. Right? So, he cannot appreciate it. It is sweet. Fine. I heard, when I went to some place, I will not mention the name, they made medu vada. And one devotee, one person was appreciating, they are very authentic medu vada, just like South Indian. I was internally laughing only. Did they ever see medu vada? Like South India, like the way it is made and the way they are made, it's like, because they don't have proper understanding. No, South Indian person, they will eat paratha and then say, it's very wonderful. But actually when they go to North India, or at least the North Indian comes and sees that paratha and laughs at it, then only they will understand, oh, yes, I like that. It's like a North Indian making idli and South Indian making paratha. Unless you have some understanding, you don't know how to appreciate also. Right? So Bali Maharaj is on a different plane only. Sukracharya does not have the sufficient ability or bandwidth or knowledge or experience or advancement in his heart and intelligence to understand what Bali Maharaj is going through, his emotions and all. So they are in a totally different plane. For example, when there is a debate, two religious people will come and start having a debate. And this fellow's pramana is some book, and that person's pramana is some other book. And how can debate happen? Both of them should agree to one common pramana. Right? So then only the debate has some meaning. He speaks on a different plane, he speaks on a different plane, and debate will continue for the rest of eternity. With no one accepting any, coming to any common conclusion. Like that. When Uddhava went into trance, Vidura came and asked him so many questions. My dear Uddhava, please speak about the welfare of all our relatives, etc., etc. Then Uddhava went into ecstatic remembrance of Krishna for one muhurta. And he asked the question, for 48 minutes you don't get the answer. And the person is in ecstasy, he is remembering so many things. And you feel really spaced out, and then you feel like what's happening, he's sleeping or what, like that. But Vidura did not misunderstand Uddhava. Vidura could understand that Uddhava is such an exalted devotee. He is in ecstasy. He is remembering Krishna. He is not on material plane. He is not in external consciousness. He went into an ecstatic samadhi, meditating on Krishna. That Vidura could understand. Sukadeva Goswami explains like that. So unless, what is that, sir? What is that called? It takes one to know one, something like that. So, right? How much hard work a cook undergoes, or a doctor undergoes, or an engineer undergoes, or a designer undergoes, or a writer undergoes. Vidvan eva jananti vidvajjana parishramam. Vidvan eva jananti. Someone who is little scholarly or academic oriented, such person only can understand the efforts of another academician. Right? Another person cannot understand. What are they doing? What they are doing you can't appreciate. When artist, what is that called? Bharatanatyam dancer, when they are dancing with so many hand movements, only a person who is sitting in the audience who has some knowledge of this dance, they can appreciate. Singing also. So that's the difference that Prabhupada brings out in this purport. Bali Maharaj is on a different plane, Sukracharya is on a different plane. That's why he could not appreciate. Immediately he cursed it. Now, just now we have discussed the glory of Bali Maharaj Atma Nivedanam in the last 9 verses, and Sukracharya immediately cursed. By Prabhupada's mercy, we are able to appreciate Bali Maharaj at least to some extent. But Sukracharya, he could not appreciate Bali Maharaj at all. Right? Because he is attached to his rituals. Devotees who actually engage in devotional service with faith and love are inspired by the Supreme Lord. Vaishnavas are never concerned with ritualistic smartha brahmanas. Okay, all the Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Unless one is a Vaishnava engaged in bhakti, one does not get sound advice by which he can go back to Godhead. So Lord is there in everybody's heart, but who can recognize it? Pravishtha karna randhayana svanam bhava saroruham dhunuvadishamalam Krishna salilasya yathasharat. When someone hears Krishna katha, the Lord who is in the heart will clean one's contamination in the heart.
But if one wants to contaminate himself with more and more material sound vibration, then the Lord will not clean the heart. Lord will just witness the heart and inform Yamaraj, this fellow, you put him in this hell. You put him in this pieces. Like that. Sranvant ye anya vishaya kukathamati ghnihi. Yastu shruta hata bhagair virata sara tamstam kshipanke charaneshu tamassu hanta. Like that Brahmaji says in third canto, which chapter? 15th chapter. Right? So, kukathamati ghnihi means one's mind is completely corrupted by hearing all nonsensical topics. What is their destination? They will go into hell. Like that Prabhupada says, like that Brahmaji says. But on the other hand, Lord will give guidance to devotees how to go back to Godhead if they hear Krishna Katha. 15th verse. Dridham panditaman yagnaha stabdho asi asmad upekshaya. Asmat upekshaya. You have ignored me. You have disregarded me. His ego got hurt. You are supposed to be my disciple, my student, and you are denying my orders. I am your guru. He has that guru ahankar, Sukracharya. How can you deny my orders? For denying the orders of your guru, I curse you that you will soon bereft of all opulences. Right? Mat shasana shasanatigo yastvam achirad bhrashyate shriyaha. Bhrashyate, bhrashta means devoid of. You will lose all shri, opulence. You will be bereft of all opulence. He says like that. So if he really had affection for his student, for his disciple, why would he curse his disciple? So his identification as a guru is very prominent. He did not have sufficient detachment. On top of it, he had a lot of attachment for all the material benefits that he is getting because of his guruship of this great king. He has become king by his Kshatriya prowess or whatever, and by, of course, Sukracharya also helped him to revive. But he is so attached. Sukracharya is attached to all the gains that he is getting from Bali Maharaj. So selfish people may pamper his descendants, pamper their dependents, or they may even curse the dependents also, because they are totally aligned to their own selfish desires and passionate ambitions than actually considering about the welfare of their dependents. Right? Next, Prabhupada writes that because he was so learned, he could disobey the order of his spiritual master, so-called spiritual master. He had no fear of any conditional material existence. Anyone cared for by Lord Vishnu does not need to care about anyone else. Thus, Bali could never be bereft of all opulences. The opulences offered by the Lord are not to be compared to the opulences obtained by Karmakanda. Devotee is always opulent by dint of his surrender to Vishnu. So Bali Maharaj just gives charity. Although Sukracharya did not approve it, but Bali Maharaj gives charity. Evam shaktaha sa guruna satyan na chelito mahan na chelito. He did not move. Chala means moving. Achala, chala. Achala is immovable, chala is movable. So he did not move even an inch from his truthfulness. Although evam shaktaha sa guruna, his own guru cursed him. But still Bali Maharaj's determination to stick to his promise did not slacken. Vamanaya dadavenam archittodaka purvakam. So Bali Maharaj wanted to offer this charity to Vamandev and then offered him the gift of land that he had promised. Okay. Vindhyavalistadagatya patni jalaka malini aninye kushalam hari haimam avanejatyapam bhritam. Bali Maharaj's wife, her name is Vindhyavali, who was decorated with a necklace of pearls, immediately came and had a large golden water pot brought there, full of water, with which to worship the Lord by washing his feet. So Vindhyavali was supporting Bali Maharaj. She surrendered to her husband. Bali Maharaj, the worshipper of Lord Vamanadeva, jubilantly washed the Lord's lotus feet and then took the water on his head. For that water delivers the entire universe. Tadapo Vishwapavanihi. Vishwapavani. Then all the various personalities, they praise Bali Maharaj. Tada Surendram Dividevata Gana. Gandharva Vidya Dhara Siddha Charana. Tatkarma Sarve Vigra Grananta Arjavam. Prasuna Varshair Vavrishir Mudanvita.
And the Charanas, all being very pleased by Bali Maharaj's simple, non-duplicious act, praised his qualities and showered upon him millions of flowers.
Okay, so Bali Maharaj received appreciation from all these people. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasate suraha. All the suras, Vidyadhara, Gandharva, Charana, Siddha, all these people are praising Bali Maharaj, who is apparently from a demoniac family. Right. So the primary identity of a living entity is his being the servant of Vishnu, and in which dynasty he is in, which family he is in, which geographical location that he resides in. So this is all immaterial, right? He attains all good qualities, and even devatas also praise him. That's what is happening. Arjavam, simplicity or freedom from duplicity, is a qualification of a Vaishnav or Brahman. Such a devotee can automatically acquire all qualities of a Brahman. So, Bali Maharaj was very non-duplicitous, very simple. He promised and he fulfilled his promise. Done. And is very straightforward. Very honestly expressed whatever he feels to his Guru. He said, my dear Guru, I cannot accept your order for these reasons. I have 9 reasons. So, a Vaishnava should possess the Brahmanical qualities like Satya, Shama, Dama, Titiksha, Arjava, etc. Bali Maharaj acted with unflinching faith and devotion unto the lotus feet of Vishnu. This was very much appreciated by the residents of higher planetary systems. Nedur Muhurdum Bhayor Sahasrisho. Gandharva kim purusha kinnara jagu. Manasvinane nakritam sudushkaram. Vidvanadadya dripaveja gatrayam.
The Gandharvas, the kim purushas and the kinnaras sounded thousands and thousands of kettle drums and trumpets again and again, and they sang in great jubilation, declaring how exalted a person is Bali Maharaj and what a difficult task he has performed. Even though he knew that Lord Vishnu was on the side of his enemies, he nonetheless gave the Lord the entire 3 worlds in charity.
Knowingly he gave. It's not that Bali Maharaj was innocent or unaware of what's happening to him. He's prepared to surrender everything he has, and including himself, to Vishnu. It's a prepared thing. It's not by mistake he has given. My God, I should have heard Sukracharya later, before only. Poor fellow, he told me so many things but I never heard him. So he never regretted for what he has done. And later when the Lord arrests Bali Maharaj in the next chapter, some of the associates of Bali Maharaj started charging against the Lord. Bali Maharaj immediately said, no, relax. Time is not favoring us. So we should be sober. Right, he just consoled them like that, and then he expressed his surrender. Right. The rest of the chapter is how Vamanadeva occupied everything. As a part of this description, the whole universal form description will come. Because Krishna is everything within the universe. Now Vamanadeva is expanding into this universe again. whatever you have seen in the second canto, third canto, something similar will come here also. So read the translations.
The unlimited supreme personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of Vamana, then began increasing in size, acting in terms of material energy, until everything in the universe was within his body, including the earth, the planetary systems, the sky, the directions, the various holes in the universe, the seas, the oceans, the birds, beasts, human beings, the demigods, and the great saintly persons.
Bali Maharaj wanted to give charity to Vamandev, but Lord expanded his body in such a way that he showed Bali Maharaj that everything in the universe already is there in his body. What he will give me? I manifested this universe. Actually, no one can give anything to the Lord. He is in full in everything. Sometimes we see that devotees offer Ganges water. Vina Udapatram. They just take some water from Ganges and offer it back to Ganges. That's all they can do. But by such an offering, the devotee becomes celebrated as devotee of Mother Ganges. Similarly, when we offer anything to the Lord with devotion and faith, that's like beneficial for us only, and Lord will not gain anything. So just by showing a diya, lamp to sun, that will not benefit the sun in any way. It is the source of all heat and light, and you are putting some wick, ghee wick, that will last for 5 minutes, and then are worshipping. So these kind of examples were given. When face is decorated, his reflection in the mirror is automatically decorated, right? Similarly, when worships the Supreme Lord and offers everything to the Supreme Lord, then he will be known as a devotee and he will get the benefit of that surrender. The original source of everything is the Supreme Lord, who is our original source also. Therefore, when the Lord is decorated, the devotees are decorated automatically. Read the next verse. I think we have only 15 minutes. Personally, we can discuss. Yeah.
Bali Maharaj, along with all priests, acharyas and the members of assembly, observed the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal body, which was full of 6 opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, the senses, the sense objects, the mind, the intelligence, and false ego, the various kinds of living entities, and the actions and the reactions of 3 modes of material nature.
So, Lord is everything in this universe, but he also has his separate identity apart from this universe. Prabhupada brings out that point here. Mayavadis think that since the Lord becomes everything, he has no separate existence. That is Advaitavada. Right? So Lord has become everything. That's why Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya said that Vyasadeva proposed this Parinamavada. Parinamavada means theory of transformation. Everything is a transformation of Lord's energies. So Shankaracharya unnecessarily became concerned about Vyasadeva's philosophy and then said, by proposing this Parinamavada, Vyasadeva is saying that Lord has transformed into everything in this. But absolute truth does not have any transformations. So whatever you see in this world is only illusion. And he proposed Vivartavada, the theory of illusion. But Parinamavada actually means its theory of transformation. Everything that you see is a transformation of the Lord's energies and not the Lord himself. Absolute truth has all potencies, and the potencies will manifest all these transformations. So, and he gives an example. A touchstone will touch various objects and convert them into gold, and touchstone will retain its original identity as it is. If a material object has this potency, why not the Lord? So Lord is himself is not transformed. So that theory of illusion is not proper. But we can accept the theory of illusion to a certain degree. What is that? When the living entity identifies himself with this body and starts thinking that I am this body, he is in illusion. To that extent we can accept theory of illusion, not beyond that. So in this verses we can see that Lord expanded himself into everything as everyone was watching, and Prabhupada also is writing that Lord is everywhere. Okay, the part of the whole, the seer, is also one with the whole. But since he is but a part, he cannot be complete whole at any time. Achintya Bheda Betatva. Next, 23.
Who was occupying the seat of King Indra could see the lower planetary systems such as Rasatala on the soles of the feet of the Lord's universal form.
Mm.
He saw on the Lord's feet the surface of the globe, on the surface of his calves, all the mountains, on his knees, the various birds, and on his thighs, the varieties of air. Mm.
So how can he see varieties of air? Now, for you to see, you need to have a proper view. Right? You need to stand in a strategic position. I cannot sit here and then have a close look at the mountain. So I need to go on the terrace and then there will be a better look, maybe on the Gokul Kutir terrace. So now where is Bali Maharaj standing? How is he watching Vamanadev getting expanded into this whole body? He is seeing Sutala planet somewhere. He is seeing so and so lower planets, Platala and all become his feet, and upper planets becoming his head, vagara. So it's like inconceivable, right? How exactly he saw this animation, it's really inconceivable. So we can just trust these words of Bhagavatam. Again, read.
Bali Maharaj saw beneath the garments of the Lord, who acts wonderfully, the evening twilight.
Hmm.
In the Lord's private parts, he saw the Prajapatis. And in the round portion of the west, he saw himself with his confidential associates. In the Lord's navel, he saw the sky, and on the Lord's west, he saw the seven oceans, and on the Lord's bosom, he saw all clusters of stars.
Hmm. Read.
My dear King, on the heart of Lord Murari, he saw religion, on the chest, words and truthfulness. In the mind, the moon, on the bosom, the goddess of fortune, with a lotus flower in her hand. On the neck, all the Vedas and all sound vibrations. On the arms, all the demigods, headed by King Indra. In both ears, all the directions. On the head, the upper planetary systems. On the hair, the clouds. In the nostril, the wind. On the eyes, the sun. And in the mouth, fire. From his words came all Vedic mantras. On his tongue was the demigod of water, Varunadeva. On his eyebrows were the regulative principles, and on his eyelids were day and night. When his eyes were open, it was daytime, and when they were closed, it was night. On his forehead was anger, and on his lips was greed. O King, in his touch were lusty desires, in his semen were all the waters. On his back was irreligion, and in his wonderful activities or steps was the fire of sacrifice. On his shadow was death, in his smile was illusory energy, and on his hairs of his body were all the drugs and herbs. In his veins were all the rivers, on his nails were all the stones, in his intelligence were Lord Brahma, the demigods, and the great saintly persons, and throughout his entire body and senses were all living entities moving and stationary. Bali Maharaj thus saw everything in the gigantic body of the Lord.
So we can understand that Bali Maharaj was bestowed with a divine vision to be able to see the Lord expanding into every nook and corner of this universe, and thus occupying the entire universe. Even Arjuna was also bestowed with divine vision to be able to see the universal form of Krishna, although Krishna was directly standing in front of them, in front of him. So one may be, even Dhritarashtra also was bestowed a special vision to see the Lord's form. One may be bestowed divine vision for a while to see the Lord's opulence, but divine vision to see the Lord within one's mind when he stands in front of us as a two-handed Krishna form or some other form is like something very significant. So Krishna may be standing. Krishna is the source of this universal form, right? Universal form is ultimately material. So to see that for a while, how the Lord is all pervading throughout,
So one may be given certain vision. But when the Lord himself, the source of all of that, is standing right in front, one may not be able to understand it completely. Right, many times. So what is the reaction of the demons upon seeing this expansion that is mentioned in the 30th verse? Read.
O king, when all the demons, the followers of Maharaj Bali, saw the universal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who held everything within his body, when they saw in the Lord's hand his disc known as Sudarshan Chakra, which generates intolerable heat, and when they heard the tumultuous sound of his bow, all of these caused lamentation within their hearts.
So Lord's weapons started offering prayers to the Lord. Parjanya Ghosho Jalajaha Panchajanyaha Kaumodaki Vishnu Gadata Rasvini Vidyadharosihi Shatachandra Yukta Tunottama Vakshaya Saya Kaucha.
Kaushal named Panchajanya, which made sounds like that of a cloud, the very forceful club named Komodaki, the sword named Vidyadhara, with a shield decorated with hundreds of moon-like spots, and also Akshaya Shayaka, the best of cures, all of these appear together to offer prayers to the Lord.
Then the Lord's associates also offer prayers. Suranda Mukhya Upatastu Nur Isham Parshada Mukhya Sahaloka Palaha Spurat Kiritang Gadamina Kundalaha Sri Vatsaratno Tamamekha Lambaraihi Madhuvratasragvanamalayanvito Rarajarajan Bhagavan Udukramaha Kshitimpadaike Nabaler Vichakrame Navasharire Nadishascha Bahubi.
These associates headed by Sunanda and other chief associates and accompanied by all the predominating deities of the various planets offer prayers to the Lord, who wore a brilliant helmet, bracelets and glittering earrings that resembled fish. On the Lord's bosom were the lock of hair called Srivats and the transcendental jewel named Kostuba. He wore a yellow garment covered by a belt, and he was decorated by a flower garland surrounded by bees. Manifesting himself in this way, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose activities are wonderful, covered the entire surface of the earth with one footsteps, the sky with his body, and all directions with his arms.
So, Lord covered the entire earth. Kshitim word is used here. Kshitim padekena baler vichakrami. So it may be a little difficult to visualize the whole thing or make a painting out of it. But what we can understand is, because of divine eyes or vision given to Bali Maharaj or other people who are watching, they could see. And Jiva Goswami gives an explanation that someone may question why the Lord occupied everything with his body. He asked for steps, right? I want a step. You should focus on the step part. Why he is expanding himself with the body? Jiva Goswami, there is nothing wrong there. When someone is standing, he will not only take that land, he will also occupy a part of the sky above that surface. Right? When we purchase the land, one may say, this only boundary is on the land, but it's assumed, it's understood that the sky, the ether above that surface, that ground level, is also his own. Right? And there could be some restriction that you cannot put, 10-story building, 20-story building, that modern government people may do that. But here, Jiva Goswami gives a simple explanation. Lord expanded his body and he occupied the ether, the sky also, and he's standing, occupied the entire land, earth with his one step, and he lifted the land to cover the upper planetary systems, the higher planetary systems, including Satyaloka. As the Lord took his second step, he covered the heavenly planets, and not even a spot remained for the third step. For the Lord's foot extended higher and higher beyond Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, and even Satyaloka. Right? So, that's how the Lord's foot increased. His nail certainly pierced the coverings of the universe. The universe has five coverings. Bhumi Rapo Analo Vayu Kham. As stated in Shastra, these elements are in layers, each 10 times thicker than the previous layer. Nonetheless, the nails of the Lord pierced all of this and made a hole penetrating into the spiritual world. From this hole, the water of Ganges descended. We read this in the 5th canto, 17th chapter, the descent of Ganga, because of Vamandeva's piercing the coverings of the universe. Because the Lord kicked a hole into the covering of the universe, the water of the Ganges came into this world, delivering all the fallen souls. Thus the Lord occupied everything with his two steps only. Now there is no time, no place for the third step. What will he do? He will arrest Bali Maharaj. That is described in the next chapter. 1243. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaye, Srila Prabhupada ki jaye. We have 10 minutes, Prabhu. We have a question.
Bali Maharaj, Vamandev put his feet in the sky and that's how the universe got a hole.
Mm.
What is this hole all about?
Holes. 20th verse you said, na? Began to increase in size, act in terms of including the earth planet systems. The various holes in the universe, the seas, the oceans, the birds, beasts, human beings, the demigods and greatly saintly persons. He found something in the word to word. Vivaraha, different holes in the universe. I'll check and get back. Sorry? Black hole. I don't know what is that black hole. I mean, it's like figuratively mentioned must be. I don't know. We need to check some commentary. Unless some Tikakar gives a very specific explanation, we don't know. Thank you. Sorry, I was fast, right? At the end. I didn't know that I was spending more time in the beginning. Thank you.